We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. Today I'm chatting with Kelly Parker Smith, a multi-talented business owner and creative artist. Kelly is a rubber stamp designer and a manufacturer living outside of St. Louis. She has grown her shop, Hello World Paper Co., with the idea that great products become even better when they're paired with top-notch customer service, a little surprise and delight, and the perfect packaging. Kelly is also the co-host of the Creative Biz Rebellion podcast, where she and Caroline Hull show other business owners how to build, maintain, and grow a profitable online shop through their podcast and online workshops. In her free time, Kelly enjoys painting and drawing on her iPad Pro, and she is soon to be releasing her second fabric collection with Sweet Bee Design Fabric Company. On today's episode, Kelly is sharing how she juggles multiple arms of her business, manufacturing stamps, designing fabric, and mentoring through her podcast. We also talked about time management, prioritizing profitable tasks, and setting boundaries to protect our time. Kelly capped off the episode by sharing three strategies for enhancing your Etsy shop, which you're definitely going to want to listen into. Hey, Kelly, thanks so much for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, I'm thrilled for people to hear your story and hear and learn more about your business, because you have just so many arms of this amazing business, and you're still getting a full night's sleep and you're finding life hacks that you're going to share with us. I'm just really excited for them to hear. So why don't you start by telling us about your business as it is now? And you have your hands in so many things, and we just need to hear all about each of them.
Yeah, I mean, people, they legit ask me if I sleep or not. And spoiler alert, I do.
Good.
And I sleep a lot, actually. But I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, people always say, like, you know, you should focus on one thing, you should focus on one thing. It's true. However, that bored me. You know, I got really bored really fast. And so I started doing other things. The main thing I do is I run Hello World Paper Co., which is rubber stamps and laser engraved goodies. And so we started with just stamps. Well, long story short, I started in the wedding stationery in 2009, but my business really didn't become a profitable business. It was a hobby until 2014. And that's when things really started taking off, and the rubber stamps did really well. And, you know, we have an Etsy shop, an online shop, all that good stuff. And then started the podcast, Creative Biz Rebellion. Podcast is Creative Biz Rebellion. I co-host it with Caroline Hull from Caroline Creates. And we talk all things product-based business. And that's amazing. And then I have fabric collections. I'm also an artist and illustrator. And I have fabric collections that are with Sweet Bee Designs Fabric Company. And I'm launching my second collection in May.
Congrats.
Thanks.
I have so many questions for you about each of these arms of your business. So you started with wedding invitations, and then you went to the rubber stamps and everything. Yeah. And then let's talk about the fabric collection for a minute, because that feels a little out of left field. Like, was that something you sought out? Did they find you because of your illustration, or how did that come to be?
What happened was, I was a stamp designer, obviously, and I started like doing my own illustrations for stamps and doing that sort of thing. And I took this course on Creative Bug, and it was Lisa Cogden's 31 days of drawing or something. It was in 2015. Okay. And I just wanted, I was bored. Like, I needed a hobby, you know, and I always loved to draw as a kid. And I was like, I'm going to take this class, whatever. And so it was 30 days and you drew something different every day. And I loved it. And I started an Instagram account under my personal name. And I just started posting things I was drawing, and it just kind of kept going. And then I took another class, and I did another 30-day challenge. And then I did this. And I just, then I took this class called Pattern Camp with Jessica Swift.
Oh yeah. I've heard great things about that class.
And I fell in love, and I found out I was really, really good at making repeat patterns. I was really fast, and I'm really experienced with Illustrator, which helped a lot. I already knew Illustrator going into the class. Some people don't know Illustrator or Photoshop or whatever, and they go to take the class, and you have to learn that first. But I already knew it. And so I just kind of took off with it, and I fell in love with it. And I started, then I did a pattern a day challenge, 100 days in a row. I made a pattern a day. And I can make a pattern pretty fast. Like from illustration to final pattern, I could probably do it in an hour or less, depending on how. Yeah, I work really quickly. And then, so a couple of us girls, like in this class, we all got really close. And one of them started a fabric company. And she reached out to me and she's like, Kelly, you know, I love your patterns. I love your designs. And I would love for you to come be a part of my company. So our company is very small but mighty. We're just getting off the ground. And it's awesome. It's kind of cool to be like involved in something new and fresh and different. And so, yeah.
Well, and so a couple things come to mind that I want to mention. One, I love that you were immersing yourself in something just purely out of interest, out of wanting to expand your own creative reach. And also that you were using your Instagram as kind of a portfolio, an online portfolio. I think that's really cool. And then two, it struck me as you were talking, these courses, these challenges, these things you got involved in, not only were they refining your artistic skills, but they were introducing you to new people that you've now built these amazing relationships with in your business and, you know, other ways. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's been amazing. And I feel like when you feel stuck in one area of your life creatively, it's so important to try something new. And through my art and illustration, I get ideas for the podcast. I get ideas for the stamp shop. I get, you know, things come to me. I'll be like drawing something and I'll go, oh my gosh, I should do blah, blah, blah for this project. And it's completely unrelated, but my mind is allowed to relax. And so I just really enjoy it. I enjoy it so much that I didn't care if I got paid for it. Now, getting paid for it is great. So, you know, that's the sweet bonus. But it really just started as something I was doing for me.
So I love what you're saying about doing something for you, because I'm constantly – so many entrepreneurs, they overwork themselves, right? And then we hit a wall, and it's just because there's so many things to do. And so we just keep doing them, but we don't really take time for self-care or even just taking a step away from our business to kind of up our creative juices and kind of revive ourselves. And so hearing that you were able to do something that still felt creative and good, but yet it led to these other ideas is really cool, because I think we need to find those outlets and we need to find ways to recharge ourselves to keep things interesting and fun and exciting in our business.
And it only takes, you know, 15, 20 minutes a day. You know, when I was doing the pattern, the 100 days pattern challenge, like I just did, you know, quick little ones. You know, just something to stretch my creative juices. I would always do it in the morning, because once you get going into email or you get going into other projects and your clients and things you have to do, you're going to say, oh, I can do it after that. I can do it after that. And you keep pushing it. But if you do it the first thing in the morning, you commit those, like I said, 15 minutes to yourself, then it's done and you feel, you know, ready to tackle the day and you feel like you did something for you. And I'm saying this because I need to do this for myself again. I've gotten, like the last 2 weeks, I haven't been able to paint or draw or anything very much. It's been really busy. My son got his wisdom teeth out and, you know, personal life.
Right.
So, yeah, but 15 minutes. So tomorrow morning, I'll be getting up 15 minutes early to do it. So everyone should do. Yeah.
So let's talk about productivity, because you've mentioned that you've got all these different arms of your business and you are working with multiple business partners even. Mm-hmm. How are you managing all of these things? Like, what does your day look like and what are you doing to streamline processes or maybe just be more decisive and get more done?
So I'm a firm believer in blocking out your time, because every time you switch a task, it takes you like 20 minutes to get back on task, right? So I like to block out my time. I'll even block out whole days. So like Caroline and I, for the podcast, we have a big thing coming up in April. And so on Monday, I have to do a bunch of stuff for it. So I'm like, okay, Monday is completely blocked out for the podcast and I will not schedule anything else. Now, I will admit I'm very lucky. I have a full-time office manager, my best friend, who can handle the Etsy shop, the emails, when I do this like large time chunking, you know, I do have that luxury. But if you don't have that luxury, you can set 2 hours out, you know, okay, I'm going to work for 2 hours on this one thing. You will get so much more done. And that's how I structure every day. So if I need to work on the new fabric collection, I'll set aside 2 hours for that. Okay. In these 2 hours, what can I get done for the fabric collection? I make my list. If anything is longer, you know, if it takes too long, then I just don't put it on there. I don't over task myself. So like, how long is that really going to take me? It's not going to take me 5 minutes. It's going to take me 20.
Are you realistic about it then? So you are realistic about how I try to
I
be,
give
but
myself
I'm not always.
It's very hard. I give myself more time than I initially think. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I've got, you know, if I have, like, I'm making a new PDF for my manufacturing clients right now. And I'm like, okay, I think it's going to take me 2 hours. Let's give it 4.
Okay.
You know, and then if I'm done in 2.5 hours, I'm like, sweet, I'm done. Moving on to the next thing. And I know what that next thing's going to be because I have it all mapped out.
That was my next question. Do you, like, sit down on Sundays or something? Like, what's your pattern? Like, do you sit down at a certain point during the week to map out what each day is going to look like? Is it every morning you're doing it?
I sit down if I can't sit down on Sunday nights, because I have 3 boys and a husband. Right. If I can't sit down on Sunday nights, then it's the first thing I do on Monday mornings. Okay. I will map out the week. So I use a planner. I use the Inkwell Press planner. Mm-hmm. And so I will map out the whole week. I use the weekly one. I set it all up. What meetings do I have? You know, what time is available for me? And what do I need to get done this week? And for me, money talks. So what do I need to get done first? Who's paying me to do what that I have to get done? And then when I have that scheduled out for the week, then it's what do I need to do to move forward in my business? So then I schedule that out. And so I say money talks because people are relying on me. So I have, you know, the other part of my business is that we manufacture laser engraved goodies and rubber stamps for other businesses.
Right.
And so those people are counting on us. And so those people in my mind come first for that arm of our business. And so I have to make sure that their stuff is done even before our own. Now our turnaround time is really fast. The laser engraver's in my basement. So, you know, when I'm looking at that stuff, it's not like I'm putting off my personal things for a month, you know,
right.
It may be a day, but you have to look at your whole week as one big thing. You can't just go day by day, okay, tasks, check email, do this. You have to think about the projects that are going to move your business forward. And moving your business forward is getting this project done so that you can focus on something else. Maybe your website needs updating. Maybe you need to do a new email responder for XYZ project. You know, whatever it is. But you have to start crossing off these big chunks of things that you have to do. Otherwise, they're just going to take forever.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I also like to block my time. In fact, I, you know, have a few days blocked off for recording podcast episodes. Mm-hmm. I've got days blocked off for my coaching clients. I've got days blocked off for content creation to do my writing and stuff like that for social media and the emails we send. So I'm also a big fan of that. However, I am finding one of my Achilles heels is that I'm letting too many people encroach on my time. I'm not saying no enough. And if you were to look at my calendar right now, you'd be horrified at how many meetings I have and just how full it is. And when our calendar gets so full like that, it doesn't leave a space to breathe. It doesn't leave a space to think and to plan and to really execute on the high priority things. And so I liked how you phrased it of, you know, the highest priority things are the customer projects or the things that are bringing revenue into your business, because that is what we're doing here. We're running businesses.
Right.
And then you're filling in with the lower priority things. How are you about setting boundaries? Are you pretty good about saying no to things?
I'm really good about it. You would think I'm not because I do a lot of stuff.
No, but, I don't mean it that way. I just mean you have to be good at it when you're doing so many things because you have to fiercely protect your time.
Yeah, we fiercely protect our time here. For example, for our shop, our Etsy shop and our online shop, we do not answer emails after 4 o'clock or before 8 a.m. So even if someone may message me at midnight, well, I wouldn't see it anyway. I don't even check it. I don't have notifications on for my Etsy shop. I don't have notifications on my phone for my emails. Nice. I don't know when I get a new email because nothing beeps or dings or zaps at me. Nothing.
Nice.
So from 8 to 4, that's when we check things. That's when we deal with business. Now, that's not to say the laser isn't running maybe at 9 o'clock at night, but I'm not talking to anyone. You know, that's a little different because, again, it's in my house and I can run and cook dinner and whatever.
You also have, I've noticed in just emailing you about various things that you are pretty, you have good boundaries about your email. You have an autoresponder that goes out to tell people we only check during these days or hours. How has the response been to that? And what are your rules there? I can't recall the exact details.
I answer emails on Monday and Thursday I glance at my email every day, but I only answer top priority things daily. I answer Monday and Thursday general inquiries and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and we don't answer on the weekends. We don't answer at night, you know, and that's clearly stated.
How has that been received by people?
Everyone's fine with it. Everyone respects your time as long as you lay it out for them. You know, as long as you say, like, this is why, you know, I have a family, I have a kids, I'm running this business, I'm running that business. You know, my time is precious. Email's a pain. Yeah. You know, email can become, you know, I mean, almost binding.
Yeah.
You know, where your email becomes your to-do list and nobody wants to live like that.
No.
And so, yeah, so everyone's really receptive. I've never had anyone say anything negative about the way I run email. Like they're fine.
I agree with you that if you set the boundaries and just set the expectations really as to, right. Look, this is when I do this and I'm happy to get back to you. I mean, you're kind about it. You're not rude about it.
Right.
So
right.
They're going to be responsive.
And if I have extra time, like say I've got my product stuff for the day, I'll jump on, I'll answer an email or two that needed to be taken care of, you know, but the thing is we filter our, so my autoresponder filters emails out. So if you're inquiring about stamps or logo stamps or that sort of thing, it gives you the email of the person you need to contact. Mm-hmm. And it works awesome. So if I get an email about, say, there's a business, they want a logo stamp. Chrissy works right, like her desk is right behind me. And I'll be like, Chrissy, did you get that email from so-and-so business? And she'll be like, oh, yeah, yeah. They just email her. Wow, her email's on there. I say, please contact Chrissy. She'll take great care of you because she answers emails every day. Mm-hmm. So that email goes directly to her. And then I know I don't have to deal with that email.
Right.
Okay, you've got them covered. Great. Delete.
Right.
And they're taken care of and she's great and everything's fabulous. I mean, they have to understand that not every business you interact with is a one person show.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many businesses that have teams and so
there are. Let's
great.
Talk about your, speaking of teams, let's talk about yours. You've mentioned you've got your best friend, Chrissy, who works with you. What is her role on your team and how did you hire her straight away or was it kind of a slow bringing her on?
It was slow. I was a teacher. Mm-hmm. I taught third grade for 10 years in an inner city school. Yeah.
Wow.
It was great, but I like to always say like I wanted to come back to my bubble, mm-hmm. you know, my bubble of like happiness and joy. And it was very rough school, very rough area. The poor kids, like I can't even imagine what their day-to-day life is like, but I left there in 2014. Quit to do this thing full time. And by 2000, I think it was Christmas of 2016 when I didn't sleep, I didn't eat, I was just packaging. My husband had to take off work one day to help me. Like my mom was coming, my mom worked for me for free for like 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Because Chrissy's was a teacher too. Mm-hmm. And so she was in a contract, obviously. Yeah. So it was that Christmas. And I was like, Chrissy, I need help. Like, are you serious about coming to work for me? I will pay you what you're making there and let's do this thing, mm-hmm. you know? And she was like, yeah, I'm serious, but I have to finish the year.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I know. So my mom came as like, I'll work for you for free. Like, you don't have to pay me. Like, I'll come answer emails. And so my mom was my little office manager for a while.
That's awesome.
And then in May of, yeah, it was May 2016. Yeah. May 2016, Chrissy quit her job as a teacher and she worked part-time that first summer because she was still getting checks from them. And then September 1st of 2016, full-time. And yeah. And now she's my Etsy office manager. So she pretty much runs the Etsy shop.
Okay.
So she answers all the conversations unless I'm needed on something, unless it's, you know, I do all the drawing and all that stuff. So if someone wants like a custom illustration stamp, then that obviously goes to me. But she's so organized. She is definitely the left brain of this operation. She does all the spreadsheets and all, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And she answers, you know, filters website questions and fills orders. And she also does most of our rubber stamp manufacturing.
Yeah.
So we train together because we got the machine over a year ago. And so they come out and they train you and we train together. And so, yeah, I do most of the wood. She does the rubber.
It sounds very much like she's your yin to your yang, so to speak, of like, you know, you're the creative mind. She's the more analytical mind. And it sounds like a really great harmony too, like a really great mix. But, you know, bringing somebody on full time from the get-go I mean, she was part-time part of the summer, but like essentially bringing somebody on full-time as your first foray into hiring, that's a pretty big deal. Were you nervous about the financial and like keeping her busy?
I was completely freaked out. Like completely freaked out. So my husband and I, we talked about it forever. You know, we keep, and not to go into finances, but we keep the business finances completely separate.
From personal, I
mean, just like, there's a hard line. Listening. Hard line. Yeah. Yes. Everyone listening. Everyone, if you don't have separate checking accounts, get them.
Yes. Now. You should have everything separate.
Yeah. Yes. Hard separation line. And he told me, he's like, hey, if you think this is what you need, then you need to do it. Yeah. And I knew, okay, well, I'm going to be taking a pay cut, you know, but I wanted my life back. I didn't have a life.
Yeah.
I was working every night. I was getting up at 5:00. I was working all day. You know, I barely saw my kids just because I was always packaging something, or I wanted my life back and I was willing to take a pay cut for it. And she's my best friend, like, you know, and then it made work fun and I wasn't working by myself.
Right. I know. It sounds like the pros definitely outweighed the cons.
Yeah.
I recently did a mini episode here on Proof to Product about me and how I hit a wall in 2016. It was a big year for me. We had our fourth child and boot camp was growing really big. I was speaking at a lot of different places, including Creative Live. And I also was manufacturing for Kelp Designs and doing wholesale and retail. And it was just, and I didn't have a team in place. I was like you, my family was coming over and saving cards when they could, or, you know, it just, we were all doing what we could. And I remember feeling just so stretched thin and like had to make some very hard decisions. And if you guys want the full story, you can go back and listen to the mini episode. But my point is, I think there comes a lot of mental clarity, and bringing somebody on your team is a big step and it's scary. And I know most people do it in a part-time capacity or a freelance or a virtual capacity at first, just to kind of work their way into it. But I will tell you, every time I brought somebody on my team, my business grew, my revenue grew, and my sanity came back. Like I was able to have
100%
peace of mind. So
100%. And another thing was I trusted her. You know, especially and Etsy people will understand this, like there's no, you can't get like a separate account for your help. You know, like you can't hire someone and then give them access through like a different way.
Oh, interesting.
Like someone could literally shut you down in 3 clicks.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Yes. They can close your shop and everything's gone. Wow. You know, so the trust factor for me, because that's when I was strictly doing Etsy when she came on, and we're not strictly doing Etsy anymore, obviously, but you know, that was a trust factor for me. I didn't know who else I could trust more, you know, and I needed someone that much, and I needed someone in a full-time capacity. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, I could hire someone that I don't really know, but then, you know, you just, you never know.
No, you don't.
You know? And so people are like, oh, don't hire your friends. But she was the only person I could trust with this besides my mom.
Well, and especially for a full-time role that was going to have their hands in a lot of different things within your business. I mean, I agree. I think your best friend's probably the perfect hire because it's just like family member, basically.
Yeah. And let me tell you, the first time I went on vacation for a week and I didn't have to bring my laptop and everything was taken care of, I was like, best decision ever.
Yes. I'm sure that was very validating.
Yes, it was. It was very validating.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you mentioned that you started on Etsy and now you have a secondary site. Can you kind of walk us through your reasoning for that? Like what made you want to also have your own website in addition to Etsy?
Well, I just honestly think that everyone should have a home base. No matter what. So even if you mainly sell on Etsy, you really need to get a website. Even if that website directs people to your Etsy shop, which it did for me in the beginning. But Etsy is amazing. It's a great place to start. It's a great place to be. We'll never leave Etsy as long as it's there. But the thing is that you can't put everything you have into one platform, especially if you don't own it. You know, you don't own Etsy. They change things all the time, which is fine. Great. Like, you know, you got to roll with that punch. You can't get upset about it because you don't own it. But any change they make could change your sales. Yeah. But when you have your own website, you have complete control.
It reminds me kind of the conversations I've had around marketing and like social media platforms. You know, we don't own Facebook. We don't own Instagram. We own our email list. So that's why we want to push people to our email list as much as we can. And even then I shouldn't say own, but you know, we can then we can determine right. the frequency in which we contact our customers. What are some of the benefits of being on Etsy that have had you keep it in addition to having your own shop?
Well, the thing about Etsy is that the people mm-hmm. are there. You know, people are going there every day, you know, and I know it burns people up who are on Etsy. But, you know, if someone says, oh, your ring's so cute, where'd you get it? They're like, I got mm-hmm. it on Etsy. Which sucks. Don't right. get me wrong, because most people don't remember the name of your yeah. shop. But all those people are coming to Etsy every single day to search for something. Okay. So they're getting a wedding gift, or they're getting a new baby gift, or they need something for their home. They're coming there, and now they have all these choices. And if you tag your stuff right, if you do, you know, your Etsy SEO correctly, they're going to find yeah. you, and you didn't have to drive right. them there. You know, you can drive customers there. I drive, you know, you can drive customers there. I drive customers to my website if in turn they find my Etsy shop.
I was
shop
just going
to
ask you that. So any marketing you're doing, whether it's email, social, any of that stuff, you're pushing them directly right. to your online shop on your URL. Okay.
Correct. Makes sense. Correct. And if they happen to find me on Etsy, great. That's why, you know, I won't right. get rid of Etsy, because people just find me on there, and that's fine. My website is, the traffic there is lower. You know, but we are in the, we're hoping to switch that.
Well, but you're here. Right. Like, people are already at on Etsy. So it's about like leveraging the people yeah. that are already on the site.
Right.
And on your own site, you have to push them there. So it's up to you to actually right. direct people to there.
Right. It's totally different. You know, we've had over 18,000 sales Congrats. On Etsy, and it still blows my mind. Yeah, it's crazy. And that's just from 2014. You know, I haven't been on there since Well, I shouldn't say that. I have another shop that is no more. It's on vacation. That was where I sold nice. Wedding stuff. That's where I started. Yeah. But anyway, so, I mean, it's just amazing to me. Like, the people you find there, you know, they find me. They're like, oh, I just did a search and I just love this one. This is so great, you know. Or we had a guy the other day order a stamp, and it was like, it's like two fists and mm-hmm. it looks like a tattoo. And I had an artist do it for me a couple years ago. And he's like, oh, this is the coolest. I went through like 12 pages of stamps on Etsy till I found this. So if you're putting out stuff, you know, if you're putting out things on Etsy, if you're paying attention to your Etsy shop, people yeah. are going to find you. You know, you just have to be, you have to be unique. You have to have good photos. You have to, you know, do all those things.
I was just going to ask you if you had to give people like two or three tips specifically for enhancing their Etsy listings, what would they be?
Yeah. Number one, good, clear, crisp photos for sure. So go on Etsy, just take a look, you know, just search for whatever your product is that you're doing and look at that page and see all the different types of photos. You'll see really dark photos. You'll see really bright photos. You'll see all those different types of photos. Which one would you want to click on? Which one would you want to buy? You have to mm-hmm. think like a buyer. So that's number two, think like a buyer. So what would you want to see when you come to Etsy? Number three, definitely get your tags. So you can have 13 tags per item. So those are searchable words that people are going to use when they come on Etsy. So they're going to type in, for us, it would be like mm-hmm. address stamp, self-inking address stamp, rubber stamp. So they're going to type in all these different phrases, and you can have up to 13 tags with 20 words or less, 20 mm-hmm. characters or less. And then titles, you can have, I think it's 143 characters right now, and I would recommend using every single one.
Nice. I think to your point, too, about thinking like a buyer, you want to think like a buyer when you're creating those tags and titles, too, of how would they mm-hmm. search for my product? Like,
how would they search for it? Don't name it like the Christine necklace. Right. No one's going to search right. for that. They're not. Don't name it, you know, Happy Day in the Sun painting.
Right, right.
No one's going to search for that. They're going to search for wall art. They're going to search for cutting boards. They're, yeah. you know, whatever the thing mm-hmm. is. So that's what you need to be putting in your titles and tags. What are people going to search for to find me?
That's great tips. I appreciate that. So
yeah,
thinking back, now that you've been in business for as long as you have, and you have so many different facets to your business, what advice would you give to somebody that's just starting a product-based business?
I guess my biggest advice for someone is to kind of follow the flow. I know that sounds crazy, but when I first started, I'm not doing any of that anymore. So when I first started, I did like charity wedding favor cards, you know? So we gave to a charity. I have Crohn's disease. And so we gave to the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation at our wedding, and everyone wore these enamel pins before they were cool. They were just ribbon pins. Okay. Right. So everyone wore these purple ribbon pins, and I attached them to a card, and then I sold them at my shop with pins. Like, I would purchase the pins in whatever color they wanted. And I mean, that's what I was making money on in the beginning. And then it just kind of grew and it changed, and I just went with it. I went in the direction that my business was telling me to go in. I listened to where the money was coming in. I was very meticulous in my bookkeeping, and I really looked at patterns and what was selling and what was making me profit and what wasn't. And I just followed essentially what my business and my customers were telling me. It was my dream to be a rubber stamp maker. No, it was not. That's not even what I was real. I mean, when I quit my job, my stamp shop had only been open for 4 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And my goal was, if I can get 5 sales a day, I'm going to quit my job, you know, and nice. I had a goal, and, but I let the money drive the goal.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, I just want to, you know, la, 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 do this. So I'm just going to do it. You know.
That is such wise advice. And I like that you talked about opportunities arise when we give them space to come in. And secondly, I like how you talk about goals, because I was just having a conversation with Rachel Hetzel of Pistachio Press today, and we were talking about goal setting. I am very much like a type A goal setter of, like, I have revenue goals for the year. Mm-hmm. I've got monthly revenue goals. I've got, you know, not money goals, but still numbers tied to things we want to accomplish with courses or programs or whatever it is. And Rachel, I was talking to her about different ways that you can goal set, like setting maybe a good, better, best, like a range of goals, so that when you hit one, or hopefully, you know, you hit that good one, you don't feel deflated. Because some people, they set goals that are too high and then they feel deflated because they don't make it. So I like that you talk about there's different ways to set goals, and also following the money.
I think follow sometimes, the money. I don't know why people are so afraid to talk about money.
I don't either, because we're running businesses here.
That's right.
And we want to be profitable. And I know that as creative entrepreneurs, we also need to follow our passion and do things that are fulfilling to us. Sure. But at the same time, if we want to be doing this long term, we need to be looking at our numbers and we need to be following where the money's coming in.
Yep. And you can have things that you do, like we talked earlier about, you know, doing something creatively for fun and, you know, that stuff. I'm not saying, like, make something you hate.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying do that, but, you know, my creative passions lie in design and, you know, that sort of thing. And so when I design stamps, that's fueling my creativity. Now, is that, again, what I sought out to do when I was an 8-year-old girl? You know, when I was 8 years old, I wanted to be a teacher or a calligrapher. I got a calligraphy set for Christmas and I'm terrible at it. No, I'm terrible. No, awful. I mean, you just have to, like, roll with it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to roll with your business, but at the same time, you have to be very much in tune with your business. You have to know what's going on in it. You can't just be like, I want to make woven wall hangings.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sell them for $5 a piece because no one else is selling them for $5 a piece, and it's going to be awesome. And everyone's going to buy them.
There's a reason nobody's probably selling
them. Yeah, there's a reason no one's selling them for $5 a piece. Please don't undercut everyone. Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, no kidding,
right? Yeah.
Well, what's next for you and Hello World Paper Co?
Oh, man. we want to expand manufacturing for sure. So we're doing a lot of collaborations with subscription boxes right now.
Very
so
cool.
That's really cool. I just really enjoy seeing other people's designs and helping them bring their designs to life. And that, like, really excites me. Chrissy too. She's so funny. So, like, we'll get, like, a new order for, like, wooden pins or, you know, wooden wall decor or something. And she'll be like, oh my God, this is so cute. And we just get so excited. And we're like, you know, Sarah, I'm just making up names. Yeah. We're like, oh my God, Sarah, this is, like, the cutest thing we've ever made. You know, we just get really, like, giddy about it. I just want to support other businesses. And so I really hope to grow that.
That's awesome.
And then the podcast, I just want that to just, like, keep rolling. We're doing monthly workshops now, which are, you know, really amazing. And we have an accountability groups that are opening back up again. And so it's just a really exciting time. I just really love helping other people start and grow their businesses.
Yeah.
And so I just want to keep that rolling.
Awesome. Well, you're doing an amazing job. You guys, you and Caroline, your podcast is fantastic. Caroline was telling me about your accountability groups and how impactful they've been too. So
they've been cool.
Major kudos to both of you.
Thanks.
Well, where can people find you online if they want to check out your products or listen to the podcast?
You can find all of our products at helloworldpaperco.com. And if you are interested in manufacturing with us, we do laser engraving and rubber stamps. And that's helloworldpaperco.com/manufacturing.
Awesome.
And then the podcast is creativebizrebellion.com. And if you want to check out my artwork, that's kellyparkersmith.com.
Excellent. And you guys, I can vouch the pins are super cute. Kelly did a round of boot camp alumni pins for our paper camp conference this last time around. And they were a huge hit. Like, everyone was super excited about them. Yeah. And it just felt so personal. So if you're looking for personalized gifts to give to people or some fun things to add to your shop, definitely check out the manufacturer.
Yeah, definitely. We do event gifts, and also we do branded drop shipping.
So oh, you do?
If you are interested. Yeah. So if you if you wanted to make rubber stamps with us, we will include your business cards, your packaging. We also offer a range of packaging, and we ship them straight from here with your name and our PO box address.
Excellent. So, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's really cool. People are really enjoying it, and our turnaround time is 1 to 2 days. So, I mean, their customers are elated because they're getting their stamps so fast.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's huge. Well, keep up the amazing work. I love what you're doing. Thanks. It's been really fun catching up with you today. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I love talking to you, Katie.
I really enjoy you too. So thank you.
Hey friends, I'm hosting a free masterclass where I'll share my top 3 secrets for maximizing your trade show investment, as well as strategies to keep your wholesale orders coming in long after the show ends. This free workshop is for anyone selling physical products, not just stationery brands. And we're going to be talking about large-scale trade shows such as New York Now, Stationery Show, Atlanta's Mart, and many others. If you're interested in joining me for this free workshop, head on over to theboothblueprint.com to register. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.